Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might miss it. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 36 through 44. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one left. Two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken, and one left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you all must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's a bit dark for Christmas, don't you think? But these verses raise an important point. We don't know when we will encounter the kingdom of God. Things happen fast sometimes. Those who aren't prepared to receive the kingdom may be passed over when it comes. We may not even know when it comes. We may just wonder where everyone else went. It is in our best interest to be ready. What then does it mean to encounter the kingdom of God? What does it mean to be taken or left? And how should we wait? And what can we do to prepare ourselves for the encounter? We encounter God in three different ways, which we describe in terms of the Trinity. God is the creator of the universe and all that is in it, from galaxies full of stars to electrons and the strange bits that make up the electrons. I encounter the Father when I stand on top of a mountain or on the edge of an ocean, when I see eagles fish or elephants play, in sunsets, in storms, and in starry skies on dark nights. God came to earth, shared our lot, broke bread with us, suffered with us, and died to rescue us from ourselves. I encounter God the Son through the scripture and the witness to his teaching and ministry, through the theology of the cross. I encounter the Son most closely when celebrating Advent, Christmas, Lent, and Easter, when in the church we focus intently on key moments in Jesus' walk on earth. After Christ ascended, God remained with us in the connection between his people. I encounter the Holy Spirit through participation in community with God's people, usually, but not always, as part of the gathered church. Not the church just in the sense of Bethel or the ELCA, but the community of all Christians of all types around the world. I encounter the Spirit when things that separate myself from other people suddenly become meaningless, and those who seemed foreign to me suddenly become brothers and sisters. Much as we can see God through three lenses, we can see his kingdom through three perspectives. I see the kingdom of God through the perspective of the Father as a heavenly kingdom that we hope to enter when our time on earth has come to an end. It is a realm of angels, peace, and rest. I see the kingdom of God through the perspective of the Son as the shining city on a hill that will be constructed when Christ returns in glory to heal brokenness in the world. It will be a place of justice and righteousness where all people can live in dignity. I see the kingdom through the Holy Spirit as something that happens every day. We feel the kingdom through the Holy Spirit when we find ways to do God's work, share God's love, and serve our brothers and sisters in meaningful ways. It is a place of community and compassion. As there are three different aspects of the kingdom of God, there are three ways to wait for the kingdom. At different times in our life, the kingdom of the Father may seem near or distant. In our youth, we feel invulnerable, as if we have years to prepare ourselves. It is a task with no urgency. As we age, we may have experiences that increase that sense of urgency. Fortunately, we have a pretty good idea how to wait for the Father's kingdom. We recognize God's grace, and we respond by repenting of our sins and reconciling broken relationships and of sharing our blessings. We have defined disciplines that help us to achieve right behavior, such as the marks of discipleship. If we read the Bible, pray, worship, give from our blessings, serve with our abilities, and participate in fellowship, then we should stay on the right path. Not quite a roadmap for salvation, but perhaps a compass to point us in the right direction. Waiting for the kingdom of the Son is a rather similar exercise. After all, eventually, I'm going to show up on God's doorstep or he's going to show up on mine. Either way, I'm going to have to answer pretty much the same questions. The difference comes down to time. It is certain that I will depart the earth in the foreseeable future. We've waited 2,000 years for the Son, and we could wait 2,000 more. Many Christians throughout history have believed that the moment of the coming of the kingdom of God on earth could be divined from biblical clues, astronomical signs, or personal revelation. A complete list of dates announced as the end of times by Christian believers throughout history would be impractical to read in the time we have this evening, but a few dates stand out. Martin Luther expected the return of Christ no later than the year 1600 CE. My Puritan ancestors who settled in Massachusetts believed that their colony would form the foundation of God's kingdom on earth, and that the arrival of that kingdom was close at hand. The Puritan minister and theologian Cotton Mather predicted Christ would return to the world in 1697. He revised that to 1716 in 1698. Puritans, in their zeal to create the kingdom of God on earth, shed much blood, prosecuting those with different ideas of how to relate to God, competing with natives for resources, and trying to purge their community of witchcraft. Note that Jesus encourages us to wait, not use force. Many Christians seem to ignore the warning from tonight's scripture. We think we can figure out when God's kingdom will arrive on earth and be ready for that day. Or we think we can drag the kingdom into the world. Or like me, we think it is so distant, we need not really prepare. But what does it mean to wait for the kingdom of God as seen through the perspective of the Holy Spirit? I would submit that this aspect of the kingdom is in the world all around us every day. We encounter the Holy Spirit when we do God's work, when we reconcile broken relationships, share our blessings in person with those who need our help, or receive generous blessings and respond with gratitude. When we share our faith, uplift others in hope, or act in Christian love, we bump up against the kingdom. How do we wait for that? The same notions of acknowledging grace and responding through repentance and reconciliation apply, but there is more. When we wait for the kingdom of the Father or the Son, we wait for God to act in clear and decisive ways. When we wait for the Spirit's aspect of the kingdom, we wait for God to create chances for us to act. We are the agents of the kingdom of the Spirit. We are God's hands in the world. And we must be alert to the opportunities. Like the owner of the house in the reading, we must be awake and ready when the chance to comfort a coworker in crisis arises, or the chance to buy a sandwich for a hungry person. We can spend time with those who feel isolated. We can just sit and listen to someone who doesn't feel heard. When two men are working the field, one will be too busy to help his neighbor. When two women are grinding grain, one will be too distracted to listen to another's anxiety and offer reassurance. We will feel the Spirit just for a moment, be taken into the kingdom of God while others are left behind. And after that moment, everything will return to what we think is normal, and those left behind might never see the difference. I open my remarks with a quote from one of my favorite movies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I love the fast pace of absurdist humor and the mocking of authority present throughout the film. At its heart, however, the story is about a young man, Cameron, who is crippled by anxiety and stress. His closest friend, Ferris, goes to extreme lengths to break through the noise in Cameron's head and make an authentic connection. Ferris listens to Cameron's suffering and takes extravagant measures to relieve it. and ultimately shows Cameron that in his human condition, he is innately strong enough to handle the problems he perceives. He has something to contribute to the world, and he is worthy of joy. If that's not experiencing a moment in the kingdom of God with the Holy Spirit, what is? Say what you will about Ferris, but he was ready to act when the time came. It's generally not necessary to plan an elaborate day that includes art museums, fine dining, baseball parades, and rare sports cars to reach out to those living in pain. It is necessary to listen and to understand the need and step outside your normal patterns and become a vessel for grace. Remember, the Holy Spirit moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might miss it. Amen.